Many of us Catholics have heard the term Catholic social teaching, but many of us don't actually know what that means or why it's really applicable to our lives. And an exhibit is coming up this weekend that really explores the impact that Catholic social teaching can have. And joining me this morning is Patrick Tomasi. He is the curator and presenter of this exhibit. He is a Catholic here in Portland, also teaches at Trinity Academy. Welcome, Patrick. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited to learn more about this exhibit. So maybe first you can just give us an overview. What is the event happening this weekend?
Yeah, so the exhibit is called The Mondragon Experience, A More Human Way to Work. And I'll be presenting it at Holy Rosary Parish in Northeast Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday evenings, I'll be giving guided tours of the exhibit. The tours are about an hour long, and they'll be given at 5, 6, and 7 p.m. So they'll just be back to back to back, and people can come at any of those moments. So that'll be Friday evening, 5, 6, and 7, Saturday evening, same times. And then Sunday morning, I'll be giving a presentation between the 9 and 11 o'clock masses. So that'll be at 10 a.m. in the same space in Siena Hall, Holy Rosary. And that presentation will be a little bit more general, an introduction to Catholic social teaching, sort of a plug for why Catholics should really care about it, particularly focusing on the economic elements of Catholic social teaching. And I'll be bringing in examples from the exhibit.
Great. So maybe you can just give us a quick preview. What is the Mondragon experience that you're going to be referring to?
Yes. Yeah. So Mondragon is the world's largest worker-owned cooperative business. It does $11 billion a year in sales. It's based in northern Spain in the Basque Country, and it's an industrial manufacturing company. It's made up of many companies, actually, each of which is a worker cooperative. And a worker cooperative is a business that is owned and democratically managed by its workers. Within Mondragon, currently about 50% of the workers are worker owners.
Wow.
So the company is entirely owned by its workforce. There isn't an owner or a stock. There are no stockholders. It's a different way of sort of organizing business. So from the point of view of a normal person who interacts with Mondragon, most people just say, oh, that's a really successful business. Workers seem very happy. Mm-hmm. That region of Spain is very economically vibrant. There's a lot going on. People may be familiar with Orbea, a very popular bike company that's part of Mondragon. So that's what people mostly see. What they don't necessarily see is that Mondragon is a company that grew directly out of the social doctrine of the Catholic Church. So it was founded in the 1950s by a Basque priest who worked with a bunch of young men in the community there in this very economically depressed region, Arrasate Mondragon in the Basque Country. And he was working with these men to help them establish businesses. Well, firstly, just to start to grow careers that could really build the community and build the economic options, possibilities for this challenged community and area. And eventually they realized that if they wanted to do that, they were going to need to strike out on their own and start their own company. So they started their first worker cooperative in the 50s. And then this grew and grew until now it's a network of many cooperatives in a bunch of different industries. But this founder, Father Arizmendi Arrieta, which most people are not going to learn to say, and that's all right. So Father Jose Maria Arizmendi Arrieta was steeped in the social doctrine of the church. And he was in seminary right when a lot of the social encyclicals were coming out, especially Quadragesimo Anno, the 40th anniversary follow-up to the sort of foundational encyclical Rerum Novarum.
Okay.
And so Father Arizmendi Arrieta was deeply convinced that the social doctrine had this radical power to reshape society.
Mm.
And he was just a very saintly man in addition, and was able to show that this conviction was real and true, and convinced these people to put their lives into a way of living out the social doctrine in forming this business.
Wow. That is going to be just a fascinating topic to learn more about. And as we're talking about, you know, the Catholic social doctrine, why do you think that it's important for Catholics to know and to learn about this?
Yeah. Well, I would say for me, I think that the social doctrine is crucial because it helps us to see that the faith is not sort of a quotation marks spiritual thing. The faith has to do with all aspects of our life. I think one of Archbishop Sample's mottos is Jesus changes everything.
Sure.
And I think we could think of that in a spiritual sense, and obviously it's true in a spiritual sense.
Sure.
But I think it's true more broadly, or we could say maybe that all of our lives are incorporated into our spiritual lives. Mm. So if my faith doesn't change how I interact with my students, if it doesn't really shape that, if it doesn't change how a mother or father lives their relationship with their children or their spouse, mm-hmm. if it doesn't change how a business owner interacts with his or her employees, their community, their customers, then it's not real. It's yeah. not something that is, Jesus isn't changing everything, I guess you could say. I started to encounter the social doctrine in high school, and that was one of the big things that caused me to discover that the faith was actually worth investing in, because I previously had just sort of internalized an idea that the faith was really kind of heady and, again, sort of scare quotes, spiritual.
Sure.
And so then to see that it means feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty, like Jesus calls us to, but also a lot more, that it has concrete application in the way we live in our communities, that really kind of radically affected me. Earlier this year, I came across this great little poem by Peter Morin, the co-founder of the Catholic Worker Community. It contains a lot of wordplay because he was a French speaker. He learned English, and he found a lot of fun in the kind of wordplay you can do in English. Mm-hmm. So the poem is called Blowing the Dynamite. I'm going to read most of the poem. In it, he says that the Catholic Church needs to use some of the dynamite inherent in its message. And then he says, if the Catholic Church is not today the dominant social dynamic force, it is because Catholic scholars have failed to blow the dynamite of the church. Catholic scholars have taken the dynamite of the church, have wrapped it up in nice phraseology, placed it in a hermetic container, and sat on the lid. It's about time to blow the lid off, so the Catholic Church may again become the dominant social dynamic force. So Peter Morin doesn't say in the essay, he calls this an essay, he doesn't say in the essay what he thinks the dynamite is, but if you look at the Catholic Worker, mm-hmm. which is a great expression of Catholic social teaching, you might get the idea that part of the dynamite of the church's message is her social doctrine. Mm-hmm. But most of us don't really know it.
Right.
And I think probably people listening, if I say Catholic social doctrine or Catholic social teaching, like you said, might have an idea that this is a thing. But I think a lot of us don't know what it is, what are its principles, mm-hmm. and how are they developed and all of that. I've wandered a little bit there, but the exhibit really explores those topics, the development of Catholic social doctrine, and then these principles and how they can allow us to build a more just society.
Right. What are a few of those principles that, yeah. on a high mm-hmm. level, that just so we kind of know what we're referring to?
Yeah, absolutely. So the ones that I think are the most important for the exhibit, there's more to them than just these, but the exhibit focuses on the principle of human dignity, which is the fundamental principle of Catholic social doctrine, that all people are born with infinite dignity, created in the image and likeness of God, and that all our action must reflect that dignity, and anything that's an affront to human dignity is evil. So there's the principle of human dignity, and then there are the principles of solidarity, subsidiarity, and the common good. And those are the ones that we focused on in creating this exhibit. So solidarity is the principle of, you think of it as brotherhood, actually. The root is the word solid, right? So okay. that I have a duty to my fellow man. And then subsidiarity is the principle, the way I like to think of it, that the level of society that ought to handle any problem is the lowest, smallest, most local level that can capably do so. Mm-hmm. So problems within a family shouldn't be addressed by the county unless the family truly cannot handle them. And even then, there should be intermediate levels of like extended family and things that are helping the family to address its problems rather than, say, the government swooping in and addressing a little spat over the Legos between two kids. So we know this in the context of the family. I think we all believe it in the context of the family, but then in larger things, we tend to neglect the principle of subsidiarity and sort of offload responsibility for things that really ought to be our responsibility.
Sure.
And then the principle of the common good, which relates to both of these, but basically says like all our, and this is also the universal destination of goods, which is a weird phrase, which basically means all that we own for the good of society mm. as well as for our own good. And so the common good and the universal destination of goods is the idea that what we have is meant to build the just society, and that ownership is not an absolute. And when you put all these together, they sound maybe like, okay, those are all nice ideas. But when you really put them all together, they create a really beautiful and coherent vision for a different way to live society within society. Pope John Paul said that what he wanted to see was Catholics coming up with alternative social structures. I think that's a direct quote from one of his social encyclicals. Alternative social structures. So he's saying we are not going to like create a whole new society. We're not going to go off. We're not isolating ourselves. Partly because we are called to the world. We're called to go make disciples, like was in the gospel last weekend. And so you can't do that if you separate yourself. We're called to be the salt and light in the world. But we need to be developing alternative social structures in order to do that. And some of those structures, I mean, there's really concrete things, like things like the credit union in North America grew out directly out of the Catholic Church and Catholics engaging in their communities and saying, we have a duty to one another. So let's put our money together in a credit union and then lend it to those who need it to buy a home or start a business without being taken advantage of by banks that are practicing usury, which is a violation of Catholic social doctrine. So these are really concrete things that what makes me sad is I think that we have lost the awareness that we can actually do this. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea that Catholics would like go out and start a credit union or start a worker cooperative, start a farming cooperative, things like that, it feels so crazy. But 100 years ago, we were doing this. Catholics were doing this in this country and in Canada and around the world, but with great success. So the reason I focused on Mondragon in putting this exhibit together is that it's this incredibly successful example of this.
Right.
But there are many examples in North America as well, and some of which we kind of pulled into the exhibit a little bit.
Well, there's so much to learn just about Catholic social doctrine and this Mondragon experience. This morning, I am speaking with Patrick Tomasi. He's the curator and the presenter of this exhibit happening at Holy Rosary this weekend on the Mondragon experience and Catholic social teaching. Patrick, as you mentioned, you were kind of thinking of all these different principles as you were putting this exhibit together. So maybe you can just share a little bit about how did this whole process unfold and how did it come to Portland?
Yeah, absolutely. So I first came across Mondragon reading an amazing book that everyone should go buy right now, but not from Amazon. And the book is called Being Consumed, and it's by William Cavanaugh, who's a professor at DePaul, who ultimately ended up being a speaker at the event that I put on for this exhibit in New York. So Cavanaugh talks in this book a little bit about Mondragon, and I read about it and just talking about this particular thing that they do where they have a maximum ratio of the lowest paid to the highest paid within the entire network of cooperatives is 1 to 9.
Wow.
So that means if the lowest paid person makes $10,000 a year, the janitor or whatever, the CEO can't be making more than 90,000.
Okay.
And I thought that's crazy. And so I started doing some research about American corporations and realized the standard median, highest paid to median is 400 to 1 in the US.
Wow.
That's not highest paid to lowest. And so I thought, wow, that would just be so radical and wild, but that can't possibly work. And then I started doing research and more research into it and reading books about it, just became really convinced of it. And then I, through that, became fascinated with the founder, Father Arizmendi Arrieta, who is now on the path to sainthood. And I thought, gosh, people need to know about this. And for years, I've helped to organize an event in New York called the New York Encounter. I live here, but this event is an annual cultural festival put on by folks in the Catholic community, Communion and Liberation, which I belong to. And for years, I've helped to organize the New York Encounter. And so this past year, I reached out to some of the other organizers and told them I wanted to put together this exhibit on the Mondragon Corporation and Catholic social teaching. And so I worked this past year with a few other folks, including the biographer of Father Arizmendi Arrieta and a number of other folks in the United States and in Europe, to assemble the contents of this exhibit. And then we presented it in New York in February at the Encounter to a few thousand people. We didn't actually keep track, but I think I personally gave 12 guided tours to between 15 and 40 people at a time. And then other tour guides also did that. And it was really amazing. I got to give a tour to Bishop Kacha, who is the papal nuncio to the United Nations. And he loved the exhibit. And we got to talk a bit about whether or not Catholic social teaching gets adequate airtime in the seminaries. Spoiler, I think it doesn't. And then to Cardinal Pierre, Christophe Pierre, who is the papal nuncio to the United States as well, which was unexpected, but really a cool experience. And then actually a number of folks from Mondragon came to the exhibit and they loved it, which was a great affirmation of like our work really did reflect accurately what they do.
Yeah.
Which was great. So I presented it in New York, but I had this desire to bring it back here to Portland to present it here because we have a society that is so desperately in need of the message of Christianity mm-hmm. and of economic options for people who feel really stuck. And these things actually go together, which I don't think people realize usually, that the church actually has proposals that really relate to our economic lives mm-hmm. and can make our lives and the lives of our communities, whether or not the people in them are Christians, mm-hmm. more beautiful and more full and more alive. And so I, as a lifelong Portlander, have always wanted to bring that vision here. And I'd been thinking about some things I'd heard Archbishop Sample saying about this kind of this new moment when he sees a lot of life in the church and these kind of like the seeds, the way I'm thinking about it is that these seeds have been being planted for a long time and they've germinated and they just broke the soil. And, you know, we had more Catholics come into the church this year than in more than a decade, I think. Maybe ever. And in our archdiocese, you know, and so the seeds are germinating, they're popping up above the soil and it's mm-hmm. suddenly this like, wait a second, new life. And I thought like, I want this to be part of that new life, because I think that the faith has to do with all of our lives, including our economic lives. And I really want to share that with people. So I had this crazy idea to take the panels for this exhibit, which are huge. They're like almost 3 by 4 feet in size.
Wow.
And ship them as my checked luggage on my flight home. And the airline let me do this. I think they were overweight and oversized, but they said, you can just pay a normal checked bag and ship them back.
That's a miracle in itself.
I know, right? The guy saw me at the desk, and I think he just saw how desperate I was to get them back, because I really wasn't sure if this was going to work. So, you know, I drag them into the airport and get them onto the luggage check thing and start walking towards my gate. And I'm thinking, of course, about like, how am I going to present this in Portland? Gosh, I need to reach out to the Archbishop. How am I going to do that? I haven't, you know, reached out to him in a little bit. And, you know, thinking through all these things, and I'm, you know, going down the, you know, the moving sidewalk in the airport, right? And I look ahead, and there's Archbishop Sample standing at my gate in JFK.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just too good. This is too providential to possibly be a coincidence. So he was on his way back from Rome with Father Julia and Father Randy, his priest secretary, and they were on my same flight back to Portland.
Oh, wow.
And so, of course, I took the opportunity and told him a little about the exhibit, and he kind of told me what I should probably do for next steps. And then when I walked on the airplane, I didn't see him, and I walked right by him, and he just sort of elbowed me in the ribs. He was like, hey, it's good to see you. Anyway, so I did bring it back and have been working with folks in the Archdiocese, including Bishop Peter, to present it. And Holy Rosary, which coincidentally is where I grew up.
Right.
You know, I reached out to several parishes, and the only parish that had the time and the interest and everything to present the exhibit was Holy Rosary. And so I'll be presenting it there, which will be really cool. I'm really excited about it.
That's an incredible story and lots of full circle moments. And
yeah.
That's amazing. And I'm excited for people to learn more about this. Like you said, I think that a lot of people just in our secular culture, they recognize how a lot of our economic structures and things like that are just very unjust. I think people just already see that and they're looking for solutions. And so mm-hmm. obviously our Catholic faith is the solution. In so many ways, you know, because Jesus is the answer to all of our questions, but also like in a very practical way, I think this can also appeal to people that are looking for that solution. So I'm really excited for people to learn more about this. And maybe once more, you can give people the details and how they can find out more so they can attend this weekend. And I mean, there's much more than we just talked about. So how can people attend?
Yeah. So the presentations of the exhibit, the guided tours, will be on Friday and Saturday evenings, and there'll be tours starting at 5, 6, and 7 p.m. And those are really specific to the exhibit and Mondragon and the birth of Catholic social doctrine. And then at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, I'll be giving a more general presentation on the social doctrine and pulling some examples from the exhibit, but a little bit more general about what is Catholic social doctrine or Catholic social teaching and why should we care about it. And those are all in Siena Hall at Holy Rosary this weekend.
That's amazing. Well, I hope that many of you can attend. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us and just sharing your enthusiasm for this project.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. This is great.